Welcome to Richer Life Insights. Our goal is to help you drive more money, motivation, and meaning into your life. Today I'm having a conversation with Stephen Key about a topic I know a lot of people are very interested in. We're going to talk about how you can rent your ideas to big companies and hopefully earn royalty checks. Now, my goals for this conversation are for you to learn how you can go from an idea to a licensing deal and all of the steps in between. So if you've ever had an idea for a product or a way to improve a product, you will not want to miss this interview. So Stephen Key is a successful award-winning inventor and entrepreneur. He's been inventing and licensing trenches for the past 30 years. He's licensed over 20 products and has sold these products in Walmart, 7-Eleven, Disney stores, and many others worldwide. He's been on such hit shows as The Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch and Dr. Phil. He's the co-founder of InventRight.com, which we're going to talk a little bit more about a little later in the interview. And he's the author of a brand new book called One Simple Idea: Turn Your Dreams into a Licensing Goldmine While Letting Others Do the Work. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being on here and sharing your wisdom with our members.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. Thank you.
So, now, I know a lot of people who are listening to this have an idea that they've had for a couple of years about a product, maybe to make it a little bit better. And what they're thinking is, can I really convert this idea that I have in my head into royalty checks in my mailbox? And so, can they do it?
They absolutely can do it. And what's amazing, I think we've all had an idea and we've sat on the couch and have done nothing about our ideas, and sooner or later you're watching TV and there's your idea on TV. And what I realized taking my ideas to market over the last few years now, that I don't like to take risk. I really don't want to start a business. I don't want to raise money. I don't want to write a business plan, but I want to be creative. And I think that I have good ideas. And so that's what I've done for the last 30 years. I come up with these ideas and I show them to companies. And if they like those ideas, they pay me a royalty for every one they sell.
And so you bring up a really good point here, and I think it needs to be distinguished between, okay, I'm on the couch, I've got this idea. There's almost two paths I could go down. I could take that idea, create a product, have it manufactured, put up a website, buy some ads, some Google AdWords. I could put up that infomercial, and I could be the CEO of this company selling this product that I've had the idea for. Or what you're suggesting is, forget all of that, right? You come up with the idea, and then you license it to a company. Talk to me about what this is about licensing.
All right, let's talk about the difference for just a minute, because I think that's a great question. You're right. I could do all this work and I could raise money and spend years to bring in an idea to market, but you have to realize that's kind of the old way of doing this, is building prototypes, filing patents, and then after I've spent all this money, all this time, then I try to bring it to market. And the success rate is very, very low. So what I've found is that if I can test the waters a little bit, if I can show a company, if I can find an opportunity, and we'll talk about how to find those opportunities a little later, if I can find an opportunity, show that little improvement, not a big improvement, but a little improvement to an existing product, that if a company likes it, they are going to take it. They're going to spend all their money. They already have the shelf space, and they're going to plug it into their product line and bring it to market very, very quickly, because that's the important part about our discussion today, is when you license, basically renting an idea to a company, it's a way of bringing your ideas to the market really quick. And today, it's who owns the shelf space and how fast can you get it to market.
And so licensing is really, you come up with the idea, you present it to the company, and they say, you know what, we like it, and we're going to pay you X amount, and we'll get into all that, but we're going to pay you X amount because you brought this idea to us. So that's what licensing is.
Exactly, and it sounds really odd. It's amazing. When I had first started doing this, I just naturally thought if I could show a company how to make more money, that they would pay me for everyone they sold. And I found out they will exactly do that. But the old way of thinking is that, no, I've got to start a business. I've got to raise money. But I'm telling everybody, that's not that's I have a lot of students over the last 10 years have been educating through my site, InventRight, about how they can bring their ideas to market through licensing. So it's really having those companies take all the risk, do all the heavy lifting, while you have a different type of lifestyle. They're actually working for you.
And that's why I'm so excited about this call and why I really, and I read your book front page to the end, and I got so much out of it. And so I guarantee you, people are sitting there listening, saying, listen, I'm just a little guy here. Why in the world would any company, small, medium, large, want to listen to my ideas? And in the book, you talk about this concept called open innovation. Now, what is that, and why do these companies need us?
That's a great question. When I first started out, I was coming up with ideas. And my idea, I'm not an inventor, by the way. I'm just a consumer, and I consider myself like a product designer, let's say. And when I first started out, I was coming up with ideas that would just put a smile to your face. Nothing more than that. And I would submit it to companies that were in the novelty gift industry and in the toy industry. And those industries traditionally have always worked for outside freelance people because it's cheaper to pay me that I'm on the outside than to pay me if I was working for them. It was a way for them to reduce their R&D costs. And they could go out and they could get all these people working for them and not even pay them. But if they liked their ideas and they took it to market, then they would pay them the royalties. It was a perfect business model. And that's what I did for many years. But what has changed and what's truly remarkable is this thing called open innovation. Now, what this basically means is that companies have figured out the same thing. If I open my doors and ask for those ideas, I might have 100 guys in the back room, but if I open the door, I can have 10,000 people working for me. It's the multiplying effect.
And you don't have to pay them a dime, right? There's no salary. There's no health insurance. You pay if they've got a good idea.
Pay as you go. And you know what I like about this? I mean, even if you go to, let's say, Procter & Gamble's website, they will list now what they're looking for. Now, I have a list of over 1,400 companies that are looking for ideas, and it's in the book. You'll see a little password there, and there's a website that you can go ahead, and once you type it in, there'll be 1,400 companies that want your ideas. Now, what's amazing, I tell everybody, look, you don't even need that list. In fact, most companies, if they're going to be competitive, they're going to look at ideas. They have to be. So you don't need a list, but you need to know what to say, and you need to know who to contact, and you need to know how to pitch your ideas. And that's what the book does. It gives you all that information. It gives you 10 steps, and each step is important.
And so if you've come up with this idea for a product, and there's a company that would be perfect for this, if you don't see that company on the list of 1,400, it's not a problem. Is that what you're saying?
I don't even think you need the list of 1,400. We put it together just to show people how easy it was, how easy it is. In fact, I tell all of my students, don't even have an idea, but call a company up. Find something you're passionate about, some industry that you love, call them up, tell them you're a product developer, and you'd like to start submitting ideas to the company, and see what they say. And know what they're going to say? Absolutely. And they're going to show you how to do it. They're going to say, look, send it to this person. These are the type of ideas we're looking for. And it blows people's minds that they can actually do this. In fact, I tell everybody, don't build this up to one big day that you're going to call a company. Call a company you don't even have an idea for. Once you make that call and you realize that they're looking for ideas, your whole world changes.
No, that's great advice. I love it. I love the fact even if you don't have the idea, just make the call, because then you're more comfortable doing it when you actually have the idea.
You're empowered. In fact, you just realize that, hey, they are looking. It's a real deal. Now I better come up with some ideas. Now I better study the marketplace and do all the things that you should do to prepare to send those ideas into those companies.
So now
it's incredible.
Well, let's talk about the idea. So the name of your book is One Simple Idea. The name of your book is not one really huge idea or one really life-changing important idea. It's One Simple Idea. Right? So we're not talking about grandiose kinds of inventions here.
No, I think what's amazing, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. In fact, it's really small improvements. In fact, when you think about it, You don't want to think outside the box. You want to think right next to the box. And the reason why, the small improvements are easy for these companies to implement, to put these small improvements on existing on their existing products and bring them to market very quickly. There's no risk to it. When you start thinking about these huge ideas, it takes education, it takes time, it takes money. So it's really the simple ideas, and that's what the book's all about.
And that's probably, you know, the ideas that most people have. I mean, unless they're an engineer or a doctor where it's really specific, you know, most of us, like you said, are consumers first, and we might have an idea that, you know what, it would be so much better if this product did this or did that. So what if, for the people who already have the idea, that's great, but what if someone is listening to this and like, wow, I would love to get into this kind of space, but I just don't have any ideas yet. What would you tell them? What are some things that they can do to kind of unleash that creativity?
All right, thank you. You know, there's a chapter in the book that talks about, I don't even care if you have an idea. And people are like, what do you mean, Steve? You have to have an idea. I said, no, don't have an idea. But I'm going to show you where to find ideas. And I'm going to show you what companies are looking for ideas. And you can be the connector. Because once you understand how this works, you can go to some of the top design schools in this country, and I have been, and you should see these students. They pay all this money to go to the best schools. They come up with these wonderful ideas, and then they throw them away every semester. And it's amazing. And once I saw that, I realized if you really want to get in the innovation game, and you're not creative, but you don't mind picking up the phone call, you don't mind making the connections, go out to some of these schools, go out to these designers and go, look, can I represent you to these companies? Call the companies up and say, look, I've got a team of designers. What are you looking for? Take their wish list, take it back to your team of designers, and say, look, guys, you need to come up with some innovation in this particular field. Now, once you understand each step, you tell your designers, look, I need a sell sheet. I need a one-line benefit statement. I need all these things. So they do all the work. And then you take their work, you connect it to the companies that are looking for those ideas. You are the connector. You're the licensing expert.
Now, I've got to say, at first I thought, you know, coming up with the idea, creating the prototype, the sell sheet, all the things you're talking about, picking up the phone, calling the companies, and creating that licensing deal. I thought that was pretty painless and not a whole lot of work. But what you're suggesting is pure genius. You're saying, forget it. Maybe I'm not creative. But you know what? I can connect some people. I can be the project manager. Maybe that's more of my personality. And so you're taking the designers, you're connecting them with the companies that want it. I mean, that right there, that is just really, really smart. And you've actually done this.
Yes. And you know what you'll find? A lot of creative people just want to be creative. So let them be creative. And there's a lot of us out there that like people. We like to talk. We're not afraid of picking up the phone. So if you're one of those people that are out there, especially if you like sales and if you like to manage a process, this would be perfect for you because you can sit there and you can start this business. You don't have to, you know, fancy. You don't need a fancy office. All you need is a cell phone. You're going to need a website. You need to look how to find those great ideas. Go out there and find the companies that are looking for ideas and put the two together. You know what I love about it? It's that multiplying effect. You know, my father told me, if you ever want to create great wealth, three things have to happen. Number one, you have to find a job that doesn't require your hands, that doesn't require your presence, and has a multiplying effect. And licensing, we have all these companies working for you. That's the ultimate multiplying effect. And when you have companies that you're submitting to, designers that are working for you, you've got all this ability to increase your chances of success. And in anything you do, you want to increase your chances of success. And the more you do it, the better you get. The more ideas you have, the more chances you're going to get one of those big ones. Because not all ideas are going to be big winners. I have to bring everybody back down off the clouds right here and realize, okay, great. You're going to have some of these ideas are going to be big ideas and some are going to be small. Some are going to make a lot of money. Some won't make any money at all. But it is a numbers game. And I'm trying to get people in the game to play.
It is a numbers game, and that's why the distinguishing thing that we made earlier is if you want to start a company on an idea, you're putting everything, all of your time, energy, resources on one idea. And if it works, great. But if it doesn't, you're going to spend years and years and dollars out of your pocket. But what you're suggesting is, listen, it's a numbers game. That one idea that you have that you think is brilliant, maybe it is, but if it's not, oh, it's all right. You move on to the next one.
Yeah, what we try to, you know, what I've been teaching my students is really how to find those green lights really quick. And I'm a pretty impatient guy. I want to come up with an idea, and we'll talk about protection. I get a little bit of protection. I get on the phone right away and start calling companies, sending them a sell sheet. We'll talk about that too. To say, look, what do you think? Do you like it? Is there anything here that you think is a possibility? I want to know really quick. So can you imagine spending tens of thousands of dollars on a patent and thousands of dollars on a prototype? Years go by, and then you show it to a company? That's what people traditionally have done. And I'm saying that has never worked. What I'm saying, look, use the tools, understand who's looking for ideas, how to contact those right people, show them your one-line benefit statement, show them your sell sheet, and go, look, what do you think?
And so you're putting in as little time and energy as possible just to see if there's an interest. If there is, then you'll invest more. But you're not gonna put that much time into it if you don't even know that they have an interest.
Well, what's really wonderful, you know, sometimes you don't even have to build a prototype. And, I mean, think about it. There's tools that the United States Patent and Trademark Office offers us, small guys, to play the biggest game in the world. It levels the playing field. And one of the tools is called a provisional patent application, for short, PPA, where you can file it yourself for $110. There's some great software that you can purchase for about $150, which shows you how to write one. You can file it yourself for $110. Then you can put patent pending on your idea for 1 year, meaning you can shop it, see if you get those green lights. That's one way to test the market with a provisional patent application. And that's such a wonderful tool that's available. Now, a lot of attorneys don't really want to bother with that. They want you to file a full patent. But realize, if you do have an idea, it will change. Everything changes, so if you file a patent too early, you'll end up filing another one, and now you're into tens of thousands of dollars. Better yet, when you file that provisional patent application, and you put patent pending on your idea, and a company is interested, I also teach you how to get them now to pay for the patents, which you own, but you license to them.
Right, so you roll the patent application process into the licensing deal?
Correct. Instead of asking for it in advance, which is really called top-loading the deal. Everybody should get some money at the very beginning. It's a good goodwill gesture. But I'm saying, don't ask for the money up front. Ask them to pay for the patents. Because it's good for them, it's good for you. Give them, if they're always going to want an exclusive. That's perfectly fine. Give them an exclusive if it warrants it, if they can sell enough volumes. And there's other stuff about cutting the deal, which I really love that part of it. But the bottom line is, I have a technology, it's called Spinformation. It's up for 2 Edison Awards. I have 13 patents. I didn't pay for those. The company that licensed those paid for them. And I still own them.
Right, right. Now, you are a brilliant man, Stephen. Brilliant.
Well,
and you know what? Well, they say that, and I'm not calling you lazy. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. But truly, you've created a way that you could do as little work and really focus on what you do best and not bother about all of this other stuff that can really hold you back.
Well, you know, people ask me, how did I come up with this? And it was really simple. I started basically out of college selling things at street fairs and county fairs. And if it didn't sell on a Saturday, I really couldn't pay my rent or eat. So I learned how to come up with ideas very quickly and test the market. And then I realized that if I really wanted to do this for a career, because I love working with my hands, that I had to find a system that allowed me to test my ideas very quickly. And I wanted to do this. It was a passion of mine. I knew if I could do this, I'd probably be the richest man in the world. It's because every day I wake up, it's enjoyable. It's living life on my terms. So I just found this way of just doing small little tests, see if I get a green light. If I get a green light, then I go forward. So I'm not, you know, people say, Steve, you know, you're an inventor. No, I'm not even really a designer. I look for opportunities in the marketplace. See, I even do it different than most people. Inventors do. I don't see problems. I mean, I'm not one of those guys. I don't solve problems. I just go down to the marketplace and look around at I look what's on the shelf. And then I look at it, I find something I'm passionate about, and I look at it, and I look for something they've missed.
Because the common wisdom is that that you look for the problems. Now, what is the problem that we're facing, and you know, how can I solve it with my new product? But you're taking a different approach to it.
Well, that's actually a great approach, and you can. But I look for sleeping dinosaurs, and I look for opportunity that no one's done anything to it at a certain category for a while. Adding new technology, maybe a new twist, a new way of looking at it, polishing it up a little bit. See, that's the way I've done it, and so I just go down to the store and I have fun. I play these games, and I look at alternatives. I look at things a little differently, and how can I change them? How can I improve them? And then I send it back to the companies. And I don't even send a prototype most of the time. I send what is called as a one-page sell sheet. It's a picture of my idea, and I'll have someone draw it up, and then I'll put a benefit statement at the very top. You need to be able to summarize your sentence and summarize your idea into one sentence. One powerful wow. And that's what grabs them at the very beginning. And then I send them a sell sheet. I used to fax it. I've been doing this for so long. I used to fax it over. Well, I don't do that anymore. And then I used to send it with FedEx. No, I don't even do that anymore. I call a company up and I'm telling them I'm a product developer. And this is so simple, it's mind-boggling. When I call a company up, I'll say, hi, my name is Stephen Key. I'm with Stephen Key Design. I'm a product developer, and I would like to submit an idea to your company. Can you help me? And I know operators don't know what to do with this, but I know I want to find my Superman at that company. And that Superman or Superwoman is going to be someone in marketing or someone in sales. I don't try to go to the very top of the president. I try to find that person that they see my idea, they can take ownership in it, and they can get promoted because they found a good idea and they took it to market. And so it's someone in marketing, and I ask for a product manager, and once they connect me with that product manager, I give them my one-line benefit statement. Hi, my name is Stephen Key. I'm a product developer, and I have a label innovation that adds 75% more space. Are you on a computer? Can I send you a sample? And if they're on a computer, which everybody is, I pull up and I have them go to a website, and there it is. And if they want more information, then I send them more information to get a few green lights as I go along.
And those are your green lights.
Yes. When someone says, I want more information, that's a green light.
And then at that point, you may decide if you get enough green lights or enough interest from one to actually create the prototype.
Yeah, sometimes you might need to build a prototype for proof of concept. I know all of us like to make things. I like to see them. And that's perfectly fine. But don't overdo it. I meet so many people, they'll build a prototype and they'll refine it because they're comfortable doing that. And so I'm saying, look, stop. There's a point where don't go overboard. In fact, the greatest tool today for people that have ideas, do a little YouTube video. Do a 1 minute before and after. You know, with your iPhone, it's so great. Hold it there and say, look, here's the problem, and here's the solution. And what's really great when you do that, it's not great. It looks a little wobbly. They don't care. In fact, it's wonderful. They look at this, if they like it, they're going to polish it up and do something really fancy. But they're looking at a raw idea. So you do before and after. Why do I care? Make a little video. And if you want to protect it, do a password protection so that no one can see it. You can send it to people. They can watch it. But that's how you grab people's attention. Show them a little commercial, 1 minute commercial. Why do I care?
And so you've actually done this. You've created the little video and gotten someone on the phone and pointed them to the website, and they've watched it.
I do it every day now. I do it now. I've been doing it for years. See, what's amazing, and I try to tell everybody, you know, I've done this for many, many years. I've been teaching students for many years, and I'm still doing it today. I still have technology. I still license it. I've licensed it to a company out here called AccuDial. I'm up for a couple of awards. I collect royalties. It's in thousands of stores. And I'm still building those prototypes or making those sell sheets electronic now and talking to companies all the time because it just works. At the end of the day, there isn't a company that's not looking for a good idea. See, big companies are constantly putting out fires. So imagine you come along and you got this idea. Now, you asked a question I need to talk about for just a minute. Why do they pay you? I mean, why don't they just take it? Because a lot of people have this fear. And I want to tell them, I'm going to show you how to kick fear to the curb.
Do it, because I think you're right. I think a lot of people have the fear, if I tell anyone, they're going to take it from me, and what am I going to do about it?
All right, this is what you need to do. It's really, really simple. There's a such thing, there's one thing that's called an inventor's journal. And this is really kind of a great little tool. You can go down and get a composition book at the local drugstore, find a book where you cannot tear the pages out, make sure you write your ideas down in ink, and have someone sign it. Don't skip lines, don't skip pages. In fact, you can Google inventor's journal. Anybody can do it. Basically, you're documenting your idea. In this country today, it's first to invent, not first to file. So you can document your ideas. And that's the lowest cost thing. And I have been in federal court, and that's the first thing they ask. When did you come up with your idea? And your inventor's journal is that tool. Now, second, you can file a provisional patent application, which can allow you to play the biggest game in the world. We talked about that for $110. That's another tool. But here's the thing, you guys. Imagine this. It used to be where you could tell 10 people, maybe 100 people, if someone did you wrong. But because of the internet, you can tell 10 million. It's amazing the power of the internet today. And companies don't know what to do with that. So what's happening is that they're treating people very fairly. They have to, because it's a PR nightmare if they don't. You do have a voice. You do have power, and they do care about you. How do you feel about them? So keep good notes, and we send an email. Every conversation you have, follow it up with an email. It's your paper trail for later. So really, they should be more scared of us than we are of them.
That's interesting. So if you do those basically four things, you know, the fourth would be following up every conversation with an email, you're pretty protected at that point.
You know, the best thing, if you want to play it completely safe, don't leave your house, okay? All right. But the bottom line is, I've been submitting ideas for many, many years. And I've just realized that it's not good business for anybody to take anything. Can you imagine if you're in a company and some idea comes in and looks at all the engineers and says, hey, let's see if we can design around this idea. What message does that send to the team of people?
Right. It's very, very shady. So in all the years you've been doing this, have you ever had one of your ideas, I'm quote unquote stolen?
Well, I've been in federal court. Yes, I have. I made some samples for a toy company, and sure enough, a year later, it was on the same samples I made. We had signed NDAs, which are non-disclosure agreements, and they basically brought it to the market without paying me a royalty. And so I sued that small toy company in federal court. The name of the company is Legos, and And what was amazing, because of these tools that the United States Patent and Trademark Office provides us, it levels the playing field. So I'm in federal court. Stephen Key Design versus Legos. The next to me is Enron. It doesn't get any bigger, everybody. But what I realize is that the court system is set up for us. And if someone steals your idea or infringes on your idea, right, and they're a big company, they do really well with your idea, you'll have more attorneys lined up around the block to help.
Good point. Yeah, they'll jump on that contingency-based, I'm sure. You don't have to pay them a dime.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not trying to scare anyone with someone's going to steal your idea. You do the things that you talked about, the journal, the provisional patent, the NDAs, the emails, and then you go from there. You can't be so worried about it that it prevents you from moving forward.
You know what else you can do? You can type in the company's name and then type in afterwards complaints or lawsuits and see how they treat other people. Basically kick the tires on the company. And I'll tell you, if you do anything that's not appropriate these days, it's going to show up on the internet.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Yes, it will.
So that inventor's journal, is there a website? Is there some sort of an online system where you can type it in?
No.
You might want to invent that there, Stephen.
Well, here's the problem with that. Everybody always asks that. When you have a physical thing, they're really concerned about you skipping lines to fill in lines later. They're concerned about you tearing out pages or skipping pages to fill it out later. So the inventor's journal is not everything, but it's a start. You know, and it's just one of those little things that you do that we all can do. It's very affordable to do. It's available. You can Google Inventor's Journal, how to do it, and read it. And it's just one thing. And this whole process, like, I break it down in 10 steps. And I give you a road map. But, you know, step number 3 is protection. That's only one step, folks. You know, so I don't put all the worry on protection. I try to teach everybody how to study the marketplace, how to determine if you've got a winner and a loser, how to determine who to call, what to say, how to cut that great deal, how to protect that idea. So it's a big picture, and everybody seems to want one little piece of it, but you have to really look at it from afar, get the big picture. My goal with this book is to get people to take action. And that's what I really like about it, because once you start taking action, you realize you are in control. You can control your own destiny. You can open up these doors. You can actually do it. And I give them 10 simple steps. And so that's what I'm really proud about this book. I've been doing it for many, many years. I took all the education for the last 10 years of helping others and put it all in the book. And I'm very proud of it. I think it's going to stand the test of time.
I agree. I mean, I read probably 2 to 3 books a week. And when I finished this book, it left me, after I put it down, it was like, you know what? I can do this. It gave me some real inspiration. Like, I can really do it. And then because the book is so well written, and because it's sort of an action step guide, sort of here are the 10 steps, here's what you have to do, here's what's next, yet you're not only left with, oh, yeah, you know what, I can do it, but now I know how to do it. And so, again, very impressed with the book. I think it's a tremendous resource. So one of the things you talk about in the book is, you know, what are some characteristics of what you call a winning idea? Maybe you can share with the listeners, you know, how do I know if I have a good idea or not?
Well, it's great because I talk about this all the time, and I'll be giving a lecture, and I'll ask everybody, hey, you know, how many people have an idea? And they all raise their hand. And how many people have more than one idea? And, of course, they all raise their hand. And I'll ask the next question, how many people made money from their ideas? And then there's no hands up. And what I try to explain to them is, look, let's try to find the winners from the losers really quick. Because I know you've got 10 ideas, and you can't work on all 10. So let's find the ones you want to work on first. And so this is what I do. I have kind of a list. The first thing, I want an idea that has a little bit of a wow. That when someone sees it, they go, wow. It doesn't have to be this big wow, but it has to have a little bit, wow, why didn't I think of that? Boy, that's really clever. It has to have that little bit of magic.
Okay. And so let's say you have the idea and you think it has the wow because you came up with it. Do you ever take your ideas at this stage and show them to family, show them to friends?
Well, the only opinion that really matters is really the company you're going to show it to. So, yes, we all want to do that. We all want to get approval. But realize the people you're showing it to, it doesn't really matter. No one has the crystal ball. So what I might do is I might come up with an idea, and this is the other thing I try to do. I try to summarize my idea into one sentence, one-line benefit statement, really emotionally. I mean, emotionally, why do I even care? Like, I have this rotating label, and labels never have enough space. And I read an article about it. And labels just don't have enough space for different languages, for drug facts, all these great stuff.
Okay, so let's just clarify for people. We're not talking about a label for, you know, a can of mayonnaise. We're talking about prescription drug labels, correct?
It could be anything. Because I think at the end of the day, labels that are on containers, marketers would love to be able to put more information, like recipes, different languages, larger type. They want to communicate. They want to interact with their customers. So when I read this article and came up with an idea that I have a label that adds 75% more space, I just gave them back more real estate, what they were asking for. And that was my benefit statement. And that's the statement that I used to pick up calling companies. Hi, my name is Stephen Key. I'm a product developer. And I've got this label innovation that adds 75% more space to your label.
Bam, there's your wow factor.
That you have to have it. And now, realize, I tell everybody, you don't need to be a salesperson here. Because selling on the phone is awful. You don't want to do that. But you need to have the sell sheet and let your sell sheet sell for you. Because at the end of the day, I don't fly out and dance on the tabletop and do all that stuff because I realize, number one, the people that I want there are not going to be there. Number two, when I leave, the only thing I've left there is maybe my prototype, which will get broken. But I need to leave them something that sells for me when I'm gone. And that's that sell sheet. And it's one page with a picture, a benefit statement, maybe a couple features to it, and my contact information.
And you, but you use that sell sheet to get the meeting, correct?
I use it every time. I use it everywhere. You know, sell sheet, imagine when you're driving down the freeway, and you look up and you see the billboard. In 5 seconds, you know exactly what it communicates. That's what a sell sheet is. It's been around forever, but a lot of us don't think of it that way. When you get a magazine and you see an ad, that's a sell sheet. So you need to design a sell sheet with your product. Have that one-line benefit statement. Wow, why do I care? Show a picture of it and have the contact information. And that's the tool I use. And it's a very effective tool because now they've got this. They can pass it out in a meeting, right? They see it. It almost looks like maybe their ad that they would run.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking some of the risk away. And another thing I wanted to mention too, this whole process is taking risk away. And there's steps that you can do to make it easier for people to say, yes, I like this idea. Yes, let's take it. Let's license it from you. And yes, let's bring it to market. And that's what I'm trying to teach people. Let's take the risk away. And by doing that, it's small improvements on existing ideas because you already know there's a market for it. You also take the risk away by finding maybe those mid-sized companies. Don't send it to the big guy, the number one big company, because they don't need to take any risk, and they're not going to. The small guy's too small, and he doesn't have any money. But that mid-sized company, he's willing to take a little bit more risk. Also, another way of taking some of the risk away for someone to say yes, understand if it can be manufactured and at what cost. You see, most ideas I will see, or most patents I'll see, people have no idea if this thing can even be made or what price point. And there's ways that you can find out just by picking up the phone, calling contract manufacturers, and say, look, what's this going to cost to make?
So explain what a contract manufacturer is.
Okay, this is so simple. It's almost mind-boggling. In every industry, there's a trade association that is kind of the umbrella company for the whole industry. And members pay yearly dues for this trade association to keep them informed. But also this trade association, when people call, they're like, they direct traffic. So I'll give you an example. In the music industry, the trade association is called NAMM. And what they do, they have on all their members are all the manufacturers of musical accessories, guitars, you name it. They are the trade association for the music industry. So if I called up this trade association, I can Google it, trade association in the music industry, and they'll come up. Boom, they come up. I can call them up and say, look, you know, I've got this new idea for guitar, but I'm not quite sure if it can be made, and I'm not quite sure how much. So I need to, from your list, do you have anybody there that could actually quote it for me? And then they'll send you over the list. So I don't care what field you're in, they all have a trade association. Now remember, when you do call them up, this is how I get these contract manufacturers excited. Because I get the list from the trade association. There it is. Boom. They give me a list of 10 companies. I call them up, and I'll ask for someone in sales. Because those guys always pick up their phone.
Yes. Interesting. In sales.
All right. Yeah, always. So I might say, hi, my name is Stephen Key. I'm a product developer. You know, I've got this great idea for a new guitar. But I'm not, you know, but mine's a little different. So number one, I got to say, look, can you do it? And number two, I need it for you to quote some quantity. And first of all, let's quote 100,000 guitars.
You think that'll get their attention, right?
They'll all start working for you.
Yeah. There's a theme here, yeah. that everyone's working for you.
Well, you know, I know, and I like that, actually. So today, you know, I was having a great time, and I was at this meeting, and I was thinking that I have people working for me in many different states and different countries even, and some people I don't even know. And I started thinking about how many people are working for me. And it's mind-boggling to think about that, that I can live the type of lifestyle that I want and knowing that my products are being sold and everybody from one end to the next is really working for me.
And you're also making their life better. You've given them a job. You've given them something to do. And
it works.
It's a complete win-win for everybody involved.
I think it is. And also, what I like about this particular business model for me, I can be creative because I have brought a product to market myself a couple years ago, and it was sold at Walmart and 7-Eleven. And I realized, although that we had a lot of success with it, it was a lot of work. I had to risk my own money. I was always looking over my shoulder and make sure the competition wasn't coming. But it wasn't really, it didn't fit my personality. So if you're someone that doesn't want to quit their day job, but you are creative and you want to be part of innovation, you can play the licensing, the game, the licensing lifestyle. You can get involved. If you learn these 10 steps and get out there and get your ideas, and you'd be amazed at the doors that you can open. And one of my students said, I'm changing my lifestyle one invention at a time. Because I tell everybody, don't go crazy here. You don't have to. And that's the whole point of it. Find something you really love to do. Make it your passion. And if it's being creative, absolutely do this. You'll have a blast. But you don't have to quit your day job.
And I love that advice. Don't quit your day job. I think that's extremely important. You can do this in what I call the other 8 hours, in the time you're not sleeping or working. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, if someone is new to this and they're thinking, I work 40, 50 hours a week. I've got a family. Approximately, and I know there's no hard and fast rules here, but approximately how much time would you suggest to someone per week that they spend on this process?
Well, you know what happens. Once you get involved in it, you love it. And so, you're spending a lot of time out. But I'll give you a kind of a unique story. And I don't know how unique this is, but two of my students, Mark and Jeff, they've known each other since their childhood friends, and they're both playing in the band. But now they're down in Los Angeles. They live 80 miles apart from one another, and now they have families and day jobs. But they wanted to get back to what they really loved, and that was being back in the music, somehow being attached to the music. And so they had contacted me, and I started teaching them my system. And so before you know it, 4 months, it wasn't even 4 months later, they had licensed an idea to one of the largest music percussion companies in the world. And I asked them, because I brought them back. I do this the classes that I teach. Sometimes I'll teach these at night. I brought these students back on. I said, hey, Mark and Jeff, how'd you do it? You have day jobs. And I said, Steve, it was really interesting. When we commuted each day, we did our office calls on our projects in the car.
Love
each morning
it.
On the commute. And at lunchtime, we called the companies. That's exactly what they did. And on the weekends, they played and built their prototypes.
So you basically find the time. And it's, like you said, if you're in an industry or in a space that you love, you're passionate about it, I mean, it's not going to be like, all right, I just worked my 9 hours, and now I got to come home and work some more on my invention. That's not what it's like at all. It's like, I'm at work, and I'm thinking, God, I can't wait till I get home to sort of tinker around and maybe create that sell sheet and start calling on some companies.
Oh.
That's what happens.
Yeah, and something takes over. It's amazing when that first company says, yes, I'll see your idea. And then when you get that call, there's a whole step we didn't talk about how to cut that deal. But when that call comes in, that's truly amazing, because then you realize, wow, someone's interested. Number one, my idea's going to come to market. And then you start looking at how many units you're going to sell. And then things just change. And you realize, wow, I've got a whole other career here. So to watch these two guys, and my typical student, I don't think there is a typical student, actually. They're from, college graduates. I even had one that was in high school, to, stay-home mothers, to doctors. I mean, it crosses the whole spectrum of people that have ideas. And I think the part that's frustrating for me, and I think for others, is that they didn't know what to do with those ideas. So this roadmap has been working for me, and it's working for others. And I love it, because I love it when someone gets that call, they see their product on TV or they see it on the shelf, and it's changed their life completely, because now they're empowered. And that's what the book is really about, is how to open doors and how to take your ideas from the point A to point B.
And so let's talk money. All right. Okay. So you've got a company that says, yeah, we like this. We think it could make sense with our product line. We want to do a deal with you. And, you know, you're not an attorney. You're just a guy with the idea. What do you do at this point?
Okay. You know, this is the fun. This is the part I love the best. I think this is where I really shine. What I've learned is that you're never going to have all the answers. So don't worry about it. Okay, everybody, don't worry about it. You're never going to have all the answers, and you can take it slow. Never be in a hurry about anything. But when you get that call from a company, I always slow it down, because what they're going to say, they're going to call and they're going to say, hey, Steve, we got your idea here. We got a few more questions. What are you looking for? Now, when I hear that in my mind, they're basically asking me, what royalty rate do I want? All right, now, this is what I tell everybody, because everybody asks me, Steve, what's a fair royalty rate? I say, you guys, you have to realize, you have to look at this differently. You, first of all, you need to understand their business. So when a company calls me up, I slow it down and I might say, great, Bob, I'm glad you're interested, but before I come out with a royalty rate or a term sheet with big terms on it, and we'll talk about those, I need to understand your business a little bit more. What I'm trying to figure out, I might ask them, hey, Bob, how many stores do you currently sell your products in now? Oh, you sell at Walmart? Great, let me write that down. Walmart. Oh, you sell it at convenience stores like 7-Eleven? Great, let me write that down. What I'm trying to figure out is how many stores they have. Now, recognize that they sell one a week. If you cannot sell one a week, someone's going to kick your idea out the door, kick it to the curb pretty quick. But knowing that, one a week, and I can count, let's say it adds up to 10,000 stores, then I can figure out how many they're going to sell each week for 1 year. Now, recognize, my royalty rate is going to come off the wholesale price. So I can guess, or I can ask them, hey, what do you think the wholesale price will be? Oh, $10? Great, $10. Okay. So with these numbers that I have now, I can do a little matrix that if I had a 5% royalty, 3% royalty, 7% royalty, knowing how many stores they're going to sell, selling one a week, knowing the wholesale price, I can do a matrix to tell me how much money I'm going to make on a 3%, 5%, 7% royalty. Now, knowing these numbers, now I'm going to know how much money I'm going to make. There's no guesswork here at all. So I might come back and say, you know, Bob, I did my numbers here. Thank you for helping me out to try to understand this. I can come back now and say, because $1 million to one person might be a lot of money, and $1 million to somebody else might not be very much at all. So, and I know that average royalty rates range from, let's say, 3 to 10%. 5 is pretty average. But I might look at it, and you might say, look, I want an exclusive, but I might look at the numbers and go, you know, you're not going to sell that many. So I'm not going to give you an exclusive. And the royalty rate could be 3, could be 4, whatever. But at least I know what the numbers are. So I break it down, slow it down a little bit, so I can really understand their business. Now, if I don't ever have an answer, they might ask me a question. I always say, can I get back to you? I never negotiate on the phone. I always give myself 24, 48 hours to think it over, maybe call somebody else that has more experience to ask them. So I take it pretty slow. Now, there's a lot to the art of the deal here. And in the book, I go through what minimum guarantees, which are performance clauses. Basically, if they don't sell enough, you get your idea back. I talk about advances. I talk about audit clauses. I talk about the basic terms of a licensing agreement. And you can read about it you can Google it. But once you understand the basic terms, I do all the negotiation myself, because these are business decisions. And then before I sign anything, I have a licensing attorney that looks over my shoulders to make sure I haven't done anything that's going to come back to bite me. But I tell everybody, and my students too, I have a program where I tell my students, look, when you get a deal, you have to call me. If it's not me, you have to find somebody else for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell anybody, hey, you're going to do great at this the first time out. You will be at a disadvantage. So I guess my point is, learn the process, understand that you will be negotiating, find someone that has a little bit more experience than you can that can help you. But you can do this. It's very, very doable. It's like anything else in life. Understand how the game is being played.
Do you find that these companies are pretty tough negotiators? Like you give them a number and they come back and say, oh wow, you know, we can't do that. We were thinking about half that amount.
No, I mean, our country, we don't like to negotiate, number one. All right, so you have to kind of get over that. And what I realized, I wasn't a great negotiator either. But I do realize this, a deal has to be painful for both parties a little bit. There's no perfect deal for just one side of it, because then that deal's not really a good deal for anybody. But what I try to look at it this way, if I want a 5% royalty, I'm going to ask for 7.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
You have to. You always have to ask for something a little bit more than what you want. And I always look for their weaknesses in these companies, right? So when I'm first asking them, hey, where do you sell at? And I'm really looking for places that they don't sell. Because I won't give them an exclusive in that category. I'll take that out for later. Hmm. And I always go to a term sheet first, big picture items. Talk about that in the book, too. And then we eventually go to a contract. But just realize, it's a give and take, right? So you never want to top-load a deal by asking, hey, I want all this money up front. People don't like that. Instead of asking them to pay for your patents instead, that's good business. There's things that really are common sense. Always realize, negotiate on the phone. Don't do it by email.
Great advice. And now, have you ever lost a deal because you said, you know, when they asked, well, what kind of terms were you thinking about? And you said, well, I don't know, I was kind of thinking 10%. And they said, oh, 10%, forget it, and basically ended the deal right there. I mean, that doesn't happen. They're willing to negotiate, correct?
Well, they all are. And realize, too, that I tell everybody to call more than one company. Call a lot of companies up, because then you hopefully you'll be negotiating from a point of strength. The time that you can negotiate the best is when you can walk away from a deal at any time. But that doesn't happen for a lot of people. They get that first deal, they're so excited. All they want this first deal to happen, and I tell everybody, it's going to take a while. It'll probably take a month, so slow it down. But if you can walk away from a deal, you'll get the best deal in the world. If you don't care, they'll chase you. So how do you do that? Well, you do that by showing it to multiple companies, and hopefully you get a couple of them that are interested. It gives you a little bit of a swagger. But at the end of the day, know their business. Work with them. Ask them what works for you. And you know what else is amazing, too? A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of companies will end up paying you a royalty. If you have a patent or if you don't have a patent, a lot of companies will pay you a royalty if your patent will never issue, because the lifespan of a product today is very short, unless you have an evergreen, which means it sells year after year after year. That doesn't exist a lot. So they'll pay you a little bit. If your patent issues, they'll pay you one royalty. If it doesn't issue, they'll probably pay you another royalty. But you have to talk to them on the phone, and you have to build a relationship. And that's the best negotiation that you can. Understand their wants and needs and their problems, and always understand that they're not your friend, that they're always trying to get the best for them, which is great, and you're trying to get the best for your family, too.
And that's what makes it all work. And so great advice. Fantastic advice in the book, and you also have this website that you've started, I don't know how many years ago, but it's InventRight.com. Tell the listeners what they can expect there and what kind of resources that they can get.
Well, InventRight is kind of unusual. That is one of my websites called InventRight, not wrong, R-I-G-H-T, and it you'll be able to listen to some of my other students. You'll hear their journey absolutely free. And you'll get a lot of stuff. I speak about this. I basically give this information away, and I have been for years. And so you can go there. There's so much information there. It would take you hours to get everything. And I have people that email me and say, Steve, I've been going to your website for years. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And they've licensed ideas just by going to my website, observing some of it. But now I put it all in the book, so you just get it, and you can read it, and you can start, like, tomorrow.
Right. Much, much more efficient getting the book than going through the website. Do both.
Yes.
Start with the book, though.
Well, the great thing about the website, you'll see me maybe tell some of this information. I can bring it to life by telling the story. But the other thing I want to mention, I have another website I just put up a couple weeks ago. It's called Inventor Notes. And I recognize one thing in the industry. It's very fragmented. So I said, look, I'm going to put a website that's about the industry. Who's who in the industry? And you can go there. You can see industry experts. We write all these articles. There's a directory of all these companies looking for ideas. And we get free webinars. We do all this stuff. It's a place to go to get juiced up, to get the stuff, to go, hey, I'm going to do this. So it's absolutely free. It's called Inventor Notes. It's brand new. And I think I'm trying to bring the community together as a whole and say, look, we need to provide good information to people because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to get you to do some things you really shouldn't. So, check it out. I think people will really enjoy it.
That's great. So, just to wrap things up, if someone's listening to this and you know, you inspired them to take some action, what's that first thing that they should do other than, of course, buying your book? But what's the next thing after that should someone do to really get this started?
I think what's amazing that you can pick up the book and right away you could start. You don't even have to finish the book to start. And the first thing you're going to do if you have an idea is that you're going to do a Google product search to see if your idea even exists. And that's really a great tool now. It used to be you'd go down to the store, which I still like to do, but you could do a Google product search to see if your idea is out there in the world. But everybody, listen, even if you find your idea, I still go down to the store and see if it's there, because there's always variations of ideas. So it doesn't stop me. So the internet is this wonderful tool to discover, hey, do I have an idea? But also, you're looking at the competition, which are really your potential licensees, companies that are going to want your ideas. So it's a good way of just doing the homework. Take a deep breath. Tell yourself you're going to learn this process and take it one step at a time and follow my 10 steps. And you will get to the end. I've got a roadmap for you. You will love it. You'll get there. The other thing we're doing, I just want to mention, that we're starting a book club. Because what I realized is that people still have more questions. So I thought, okay, let's do a webinar, and we'll probably do these things once a week, so people can come on, ask questions, and we can get those questions answered for people, too.
So where can people go to see those webinars?
Well, two things. The Inventor Notes, that's more of a directory of the whole industry. If you go to InventRight, that's more about myself and some of the other things. You'll see all these products I brought to market over 30 years. If you go to StephenKey.com, that's our book club that we're starting now, too.
And that's STEPHEN.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm going to be listening to some of those webinars.
Please, come on. I think it's going to be a blast. I was telling McGraw-Hill, I said, look, I want to find a way of listening, and this is going to give me information for the next book. I want to hear how people are getting stuck a little bit, what they're reading from this book, what else do they need? So it's going to help me. It's going to help you. You're going to ask a lot of questions, and I think it's going to be a great way to build this community. I believe we all need to help each other. I believe that what you give out, you get 10 times, you get it back. So it's all about in finding the right people that are thinking the right thoughts and trying to change your life a little bit. So I'm looking forward to it. The first one we have is going to be next week. I think it's next Wednesday. I think it's the 13th.
And that, again, so that's going to be at StephenKey.com?
StephenKey.com. We'll give everybody a notice. You can sign up for it. We'll give you a little password. We'll do a live webinar. And we'll put some chapters up there. We'll have people send in questions. Because we're coming, you know what's amazing? The phone's ringing off the hook. People have more questions. Like, okay, well, how do we answer these?
I'm thinking book number two.
well, we're trying, you know, it's funny. What my job is to do is to be an educator, is to really understand where some of the issues and problems are. And I think we have a pretty good idea, but it's really great when I hear it from the readers. That's when I really know they're absorbing the information and what other questions they have. And I'm going to watch everybody's journey. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I have a pretty good idea where people get stuck. Right? So We're trying to provide all the information to where they can just move forward. And at the end of the day, they go from point A to point B.
And Stephen, will you ever partner with someone? Let's say someone's got the idea. Maybe they've even gone so far as to create a prototype, but they're just not the type. They don't feel comfortable calling on companies and negotiating. Could they bring that to you and say, hey, listen, you know what? Let's partner on this. We'll work out some sort of a deal, and you can do the negotiating, all that other stuff.
Well, you know, I never say no, okay? But what I try to explain to everybody, I'm pretty particular at this point in my life. I love packaging. I'm in the packaging industry. I like to piggyback on other people's products, and I like products that are everywhere. So I'm in the packaging industry. So yes, that's my favorite. If I see something in that industry, it's really easy for me to implement it because I know everybody. That's where I play. But I always tell everybody, look, if you've got an idea you want me to see, I'll sign an NDA. Send it over to me. Of course. I can do two things. I can either direct you to someplace that someone is looking for that idea, or I can push in one direction or say, no, it's not really for me. But absolutely, I would never say never because no one has that crystal ball, and I love ideas.
And so how would they contact you?
They could send it at Stephen, Stephen, at inventright.com.
And so my guess, though, is that you are not going to evaluate their proposal, their product. You're not going to say, oh, this is good, or no, I don't think it's going to be good for the market. You're not going to do that, correct?
No, I don't do that. I think that's impossible.
Okay.
I think it's really impossible. The only evaluation I would do is say, look, maybe go here, maybe try this. Maybe there's another way of positioning that. But I don't have the crystal ball. I don't know, and people think I should know. I don't know. I've had people very, very close to me that were great at new product development, went to the best schools, amazing, that saw a few of my ideas and didn't think they were that great, and I ended up licensing those ideas.
Well, there's a great story, and maybe you're talking about this one in the book about your wife, but so I won't ruin it for anyone.
No, it's an amazing story. I tell this story everywhere I go, and people are just surprised at the story. So, no, I've learned that I don't have all the answers, and I tell everybody, look, the only opinion that matters is that company you're showing it to. So, yes, I don't evaluate. No, I don't know what's good.
Good, because I didn't want to. I don't want to inundate your email box with a lot of people thinking that you're going to give them the some sort of grading system.
But, no, I don't.
It's great.
I don't really.
This has been absolutely fantastic. Just huge, huge thanks to you, Stephen. You clearly know what you're talking about here. You've been doing it for a number of years, and like you said, man, you're an educator, and you've really educated me, and I'm sure my listeners as well. And so, if you want to learn more from Stephen, he's got a couple of websites. You could start by going to inventright.com. And that's kind of the hub, and you can go then to stephenkey.com and to some of those others. And so if you're ready to put what you've heard into action, go to richerlife.com. There's going to be a lot more resources that will help you implement what you've heard from Stephen today. And also go on the message boards. Talk about what's inspired you about this message and what you're going to do with it going forward. And so, again, Stephen, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Robert. I enjoyed it.